All right, well, Shabbat Shalom. Man, I feel brand new up here again. I tell you, it seems like it's been a hot minute. When you've been out of routine, it just kind of feels a little funny at first. But we're going to get through to it. How you know that, look, Yah's been good to us. And we're on this subject right here with Yosef about the spirit of Elohim in him. How many know we're dealing with Yah, we're dealing with his spirit, his intrinsic nature? This is a big subject, big deal. That's why we haven't even moved on past this yet. We're going to try to make a little head ground, but I'm going to share some stuff tonight. I kind of almost kind of spilled out during Midrash, which I did spill a little bit, but I couldn't help myself because the question was asked. So, but anyway, let me just back up just a little bit, because we had to go take it from where this conversation started. Back in verse 15, it says, "And Pharaoh said to Yosef," we're not going to go through to all of them, but this is where this spirit of Elohim took place, because he's speaking to Yosef. He said, "I have dreamed a dream, and there was no one to interpret it. Now I myself had heard it said of you that you understand a dream to interpret it." And this is where we're going to take it from. "And Yosef answered Pharaoh." How do you know we should be prepared not only on defense, on offense? We need to know, because sometimes you're going to be put on the spot in the moment. And you don't have time to, let me get my notes, or let me call Pastor. We need to be prepared for what's to come, what now and what's to come. He said, "And Yosef answered Pharaoh," I'm doing my best to go slow too, "saying, it is not in me." What do you mean it's not in you? It had to be in him, because he's the man presented before Pharaoh. But he knows for the past 13 years that he was being led by the Spirit, being trained and learned from his sufferings, he was not about to take the place and be boastful and prideful about that. But he acknowledges Elohim. He says, "Let Elohim answer Pharaoh with shalom, with peace." So let's go cover that. That not in me. I shared this from Midrash. The word is H1107, biladay. It's the Hebrew word biladay. It's constructive plural, because that's what the question was at. What are all these extra, when you go to the ancient Hebrew, what's all that down, all these words? It constructs them. It's construction words, because why? You can build on Yehovah. You can build on his word. I'm going to show you this, how this goes on, that the foundation for us has already been laid. Men and women have gave their lives, were martyred for us to be here today. And what are we to do? Pick up the hammer, pick up the chisel, pick up the word, and keep on building. We see that in his word. It says it's constructive plural. It's plural because it's from two sections. H0177, H5703. Not till, that is, as preposition or adverb, except, without, besides, not, in, save, without. And it's apart from, in the Brown Driver's Brig, apart from, except without. Because without Yehovah, right there in that spot with him, I'm going to show you in the next verse what's going to happen. But you see right there, it's without. Without that spirit in him, of Elohim in him, that Pharaoh recognized, this is about to be a failure. Because what is H10? Look at the next root word, H1077. Probably a failure. If he don't answer correctly, he's going to fail. His one shot, his one opportunity right here, after 13 years of going through a rough time, from stolen from his house. Well, not was stolen, but basically almost stolen. Sold. And who knows whatever else we don't know what took place all these times. But for 13 years, we know he's miserable, but now he's a shot. Mm-hmm. What's he going to say? What's going to come out? The first thing he does, I love what he says, "It's not in me, let Elohim." We have to acknowledge him. If not, it'll be a failure. By implication, nothing. Usually, adverbially, not at all. Also, least, neither, no, none, that, not any, nothing. Nothing. Without that spirit in them, look at the ancient Hebrew. Nothing and nothing flowing. It can't come out of him. And you can tell when he had to have that spirit in him, because what he's going to say, Pharaoh's about to react. What's he going to tell? After he relates the dream to him, boom, they're on the move, because time started right there. Because he said, Yahweh, he's letting you know that Yahweh started and it's not going to be reversed. That's why the dream was double. Nothing except. Now, when you go down the list right there and you see all the ancient Hebrew and the words, that's your construct words. That's all you can try, that you can build upon. Because if we had to sit here, if we diagnosed and took our time to do everyone, we would never get out of the first chapter of Genesis. We wouldn't even be this far along. That's how big Yah's word is. But we moving along. Look at all the little words. Nothing except without. Because without that spirit in him, our chance of being here today doesn't look very well. Yah had to raise up someone else. But Yosef, he saw what he saw in Yosef was absolutely beautiful. Earth, all these tie-ins go to this verse of scripture. Ruin. They're going about being ruined. Why? Because a global crisis is about to happen. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's to come also, because we're going to get to that in the Word. Tribute, mix, fodder. Why would fodder be in there? Because they can't feed the animals. Remember, they're about to go through a global crisis. All these construct words, flow, stream, metal, morning. I can just kind of glanced over all of them. But just to try to make sense of them, as I'm looking through them, what can they tie it into? You can tie it all into that very verse. Emptiness, trouble. You don't think they would have been in trouble? Man, it was just, you understand, this time, we had to put yourself in this time. This is your last shot. What if this was your last service today? What if this was my last service, my last shot? Hey, I want to be able to drop the mic tonight. Stream, ulcer. What has ulcer got to do in there? You can imagine when you start getting sick and feeble and poor, you start developing sores. These ulcers, then they drain, they leak, they flowing. All these things, trumpet. I mean, so the list goes on. It goes to show you how this Yah's word, as you can take it and you can build on it because it's concrete. At age 1077 also has another root word. I didn't give it to y'all. The word was Baal. And it means probably a failure. It comes from H1086, Bala, means primitive root to fail. It means it was going to fail had he not answered correctly. So we should take notice of that when we're witnessing, or when you're in a spot, in a moment with someone, you have an opportunity. Your next words can be either life or death to that person, maybe even to you. Because you never know. You know, what we say is we cast the bird upon the water and not to turn void. I believe that. Look, I don't know, but when I'm sharing, when I give testimony to people and I'm out there in the workforce, hey, I expect it to go and go do what it's accomplished to do. It's not because I want to hold back, because you can't hold this back. This is too big for you and I, but it's not too big for set apart spirit that can come in and teach us these things. To wear out, decay. Man, it's just the ancient Hebrew, nothing. It's the same thing. You can go back and look at it. So all these construct words, they're very beautiful. Take your time and go back and look at them, because there's always something to build on. You never come here without nothing to teach or to say or to speak, because that's how broad it is. He said, what I'm going to teach next week. Oh my gosh. Look at this second root word. It's H5703 is the word add. Now we like that. Adding sounds good. It means perpetuity, forever, continuing, future, ancient, from the past, forever, future time, or continuous existence, forever, or of God's existence. This thing's, what we're talking about here, this happened a long time ago. It's in the past. And is it still relevant for us today, in the present, and in the future? Well, we're going to see what the Word says. So this thing is, like I said, it's much broader than we just read off the pages and we can just skim through it. That's why we're still here. It's really beautiful. Look at the ancient Hebrew. Repeat. Is history going to repeat itself in this area? Well, the scripture talks about a famine coming. Witnesses. Are there going to be witnesses? There was witnesses all around Yosef waiting. There was all the wise men, the smarts of the smarts were there that day. And what Yosef was right there. This was his time. And Yah, does Yah make him shine? Ooh, boy. I guarantee. It means see the door when you put them together. I believe Yah opened up, he gave him such a revelation that it was mind-blowing, really. But we us today, we have to just go back and slow down and take example what was written for us for our learning. Witness again. You mean this thing is going to happen? It's happening now. Time, the clock's already started ticking. We just hadn't been aware of it. But this is what the Word does. This is what set up our spirit. This is what we come and we learn. We sit down to teach us for what's to come. Because after all, our master taught us what's to come. If we're going to take him at his word, we just got to go see what he says. Witness, trappings, adorn. We're going to get to that in just a minute. Again, meet, appointment. How you know, and appointed. How many know the time is coming? And we should prepare ourselves. This is why we come. We gather here on our Fridays, on our Shabbat nights, on a Friday, on tomorrow during the day, to learn more, because we're going to need this. At that come a time, they may strip you from your Bibles, strip you from all your electronics. Then what you have? Well, I know what David said, his word that I have in my heart, I might not sin against him. So we've got to take this and soak this in and really not take it lightly. So I like what Yosef does right here. He acknowledges Elohim. In Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 6, he says, know him in all your ways. We have to know him in all that we do. And he makes all your paths straight. The King James says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Mm-hmm. He's got to be first. Right. He don't take second place. I'm sorry. And he shall direct your path. I love that. That word acknowledge is yadat. And it's H3045, but that's the first I went with that. I just wanted to point it out. Well, let's see what our master says just for a moment. We're going to come back. Because out of all this, I'm always looking, what does our master say? Because after all, at the end of the day, that's who we're following. So in John 15 and verse 4. These verses are very familiar. But we need these. He says, stay in me. That's right off the bat. That's a command off the bat. And I stay in you. As a branch is unable to bear fruit of itself. What was Yosef? A branch. He couldn't do nothing. It's not in me. Look at his words. Because he couldn't do nothing. He had to see the door. Unless it stays in the vine, you're unable to bear fruit of itself. Unless it stays in the vine, we have to stay in him. Minnow. I know we know that one. So neither you, unless you stay in me. We have to stay in him. If not, nothing's going to flow. Nothing's going to come out when you have your encounter, when you have your one-on-one experience. You have to be prepared. You have to have we have to have our ears tuned in. Sometimes when other people are speaking, you'll pick up on something and you're able to go back and say, look, this is what it really says. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. We are the branches. He who stays in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. This is what we want to do. This should be one of our desires, to bear much fruit. Because without me, you are able to do naught. We can't do nothing without him, without seeing the door. We can't do nothing. That's why Yosef makes that statement. It is so beautiful. It is not in me, but Elohim. He had first he had to acknowledge, then he can give the dream because it wasn't in him. He had nothing. And just like we are today, without him, we're nothing. We can claim it. We can say all we want, but without him, we're nothing. In Matthew chapter 10, another spot that I was drawn into. Verse 16. It says, "See, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." Right there, you and I, we lost. You, a sheep ain't going to beat a wolf. It's not a fair fight. Out there is a lot of wolves. And that's where you are. He said, "I send you out." Yeshua said, but he's not sending you out powerless. He's sending us out with power. But it's in him that we draw our strength from, because we can't do nothing. We can't fight wolves. Therefore, be wise. Did Yosef had to be wise? Yes. Wise as serpents, as innocent as dove. He came in there humbly. He didn't come in there raising his hand and being a little pride and boastful, because he remembers the first time that robe was put on him. And we're going to get to that. Slow down, spider. When he sends you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, we have to be wise, especially in today's time in which we live in. We have to be wise. We have to be sit down and just soak it in when we have opportunity. He says, but beware of men. Not only the wolves, beware of men. Because you got wolves and you got men. Big difference. For they shall deliver you up to Sanhedrins and flog you in their congregations. These ain't fun times. And you shall be brought before governors and sovereigns for my sake. That was Yosef before the sovereign. As what? A witness. That's who you are. You witnesses. There were the witnesses that were there around Yosef. His shot. It finally came. To them and to the nation. To them and to the nations. But when they deliver you up, this was the part where it really caught my attention. Do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it shall be given you in that hour what you shall speak. Yosef didn't have a whole lot of time. That was his 1 hour, his one time right there. Just like we get here tonight. This could be our 1 hour, our last time. What do we do with it? For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking in you. That same Spirit that was there with Yosef, give him the power, the ability to see the door and able to speak. Let Elohim answer Pharaoh. I just wonder if Yeshua was tapped into that same story right there, if he was thinking about Yosef. You think he read Yosef? I'm sure he did many times. It's just so many tie-ins. When you sit there and look at it, it's beautiful. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking in you. And brother shall deliver a brother to death. And a father his child, and children shall raise up against parents and shall put them to death. That's terrible. I hadn't really seen that time yet. But is this future? We have to ask ourselves. And you shall be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who shall have endured to the end shall be saved. We have to endure. In this time and age in which we live, we have to endure. Besides, we're going to show you in the scripture, what are the chances for our younger ones? We're going to see that in the scripture in just a moment. So I just wanted to point out, what does our master say? Because we have to really pay attention to it. That's what I'm afraid. Nobody pays attention. Well, I say nobody. We really slow down to start looking at his word very carefully. But it should come to mind when we're sitting there, when I'm studying, when I'm reading early in the morning, sometimes these words, they just flow and they come to you. And it's like, okay, yeah, let me go check this out to read. Because it's not in me. I can tell you, I didn't find none of this. I was waking up This has been 2 weeks ago. I wrote this down ever since I was running out of town. But I just, when you're waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can't sleep no more, something's up. I don't know if anybody else besides, you know, me or I'm sure Pastor does, or my guys back there, but when he's waking you up that time of the morning, there's something's going on. So this is what he says, in me, bill a day, apart, without, nothing. We can't do it without him. Now back to Genesis 41, and let's go back to 16. Let's look at the H5703, add. Oh, we did that one. It means future time, repeat, witness. Let's look at the other related word to this. H5710, Ada. Ada, a primitive root to advance. That is, pass on or continue. Causatively, to remove. Specifically, to bedeck. That is, bring an ornament upon, adorn, deck self, pass by, or take away. All right. Now this deck self, we know that Yosef couldn't do it on his own. Because the first time when he was decked as a young man, when that self stepped in there, he remembers that got taken away from him. So now these 13 years he had to learn and learn through his sufferings. He's being bedecked now. Now that bedeck is beautiful. I see bedeck all the time every Shabbat. We got a couple of guys in here. I know they're bedecked. I don't want to mention their names, but they look alike. But they ain't dressing themselves. I know who's dressing them. So there's a difference between decking self and bedecked. Y'all want to bedeck all of us. We have to just let him. But I thought this word was so beautiful. Bedecked means, of course, I don't know what it means. Bedecked means, in one word, to clothe with finery. Now, was Yosef clothed with finery? I'm going to read in just a minute. But that's what it means to bedeck something, not deck self. And construct, when you pull up the word construct words, I almost passed this up. It goes into grammar, it goes into building, it goes into geometry, because that's a lot of figuring going on, because he had to remember, he's got to build these silos. All this is going to come to him. I'm sure he wasn't thinking about this all his time in prison. Can you imagine Yah just flooding his mind with all, because the scripture says he went out throughout all the land of Egypt. What do you think he's going out and doing? He's not only just going to look at the land, he's got to figure out where they're going to store grain at, and all these cities and all these silos they got to build. So that's going to take some figuring out. That's going to take some cutting, some work in all this. Construct is language. Construct, it can be linguistic in language. But what I thought about, what I looked at also, people ask, What is an example of construct? It means justice. It means beauty, happiness, and health. Everything that he wants for you. So did he bedeck Yosef in beauty and in happiness and health? This is where we get down when we catapult down to verse 38. And Pharaoh said to his servant, could we find another like him, a man in whom is the spirit of Elohim? And Pharaoh said to Yosef, since Elohim has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. We just learned that. Discerning and wise. This was part of our teaching last week. Be over my house. You yourself at your mouth, all my people shall kiss. Only in the throne, and I am greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Yosef, see, I have set you over all the land of Mitzrayim. And Pharaoh took his signet ring from off his hand and put it on Yosef's hand. And he dressed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. Be that. He's decked out today. That's where you get it from. It ain't just nothing that's just made up. He's decked out. Now the world has its own way of decking things. We just passed it. Deck the halls. They sing these songs with balls of holly. That's part of being decked out. We're not going that route. We want to be bedecked by him. Because then when you bedecked by him, you stand out amongst the crowd. You look different. You smell different. You walk different. You speak different. Our conduct and what we say to people really, really matters. Had him ride his second chariot, which he had. And they cried out before him, bowed the knee. And he set him over all the land of Mizraim. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without a word from you, let no man lift his hand or his foot in all the land of Mizraim. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah. And he gave him a wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Mizraim. Wow, that was beautiful. But I just wanted to kind of go back over that because, man, that bedeck, that bill of day. And it's amazing. It starts out with the word bill. I just thought that was interesting. That word, it's a construct word because it starts off with bill. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was so amazing. Yah's good. Amen. I tell you, he knows what he's doing. And look, we don't have to go and build anything. Literally, we're just going to go out and sit down and learn how it was being built because a lot of work has been done for us. We just basically got to go learn, and we can something we can build on to help make it pretty a little bit. I'm sure we can bedeck a little bit, but it's already beautiful. Y'all get what I'm saying? Amen. Oh, like we say around the house, you dig me? Oh, man. Let's see this continuance. There's something I would just want to point out, and it's in the book of Amos. I mentioned this last time. And I was really drawn to this again because one of the definitions was repeat. Because all this has to do with time and witness. As one thing, and then I was sharing this with Brett Chad, one thing that man is not in control of is time. We don't know how much time we have. So we need to use it wisely. Be wise. In Amos chapter 8, I'm sorry, I don't even want to leave y'all hanging. I'm not going to read this whole chapter, but because there's somewhere else I need to go. But in chapter 8, verse 9, but go back, please, go back and read the full chapter because it really lays it out. But it says in verse 9, and it shall be in that day, hold on. Yeah, declares the Master Jehovah, and I shall cause the sun to go down at noon and shall darken the earth on a day of brightness. This is future. Because what our definition was whenever, it was future. I don't know when it came, when we looked at ad. And shall turn your festivals into mourning and all your songs into lamentation and bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. You know why baldness on every head? Because that's what a little subject came up in one of my conversations just during the week. When you bald, you say to you have no covering. You remove your covering. This is what he's telling. Without him covering us, without him, I don't even know how to sometimes how to put it in words. But we this is what he's talking about. Without that covering to recognize that he's there, this is what he's saying. Baldness on every head. You're in a no-win situation. And it should be like mourning for an only son, and it's in like a day of bitterness. Future, day is coming. See, the days are coming. What a note. The next verse says, see, the days are coming, declares the Master Jehovah. I'm glad we, like I said, this is already pre-built for us. Sometimes I think of it as like a Lego. All we got to do is just put it together. Declare that I shall send a hunger in the land. What was about to happen in Joseph's time? Hunger, big famine. And good thing for Joseph. I'm so thankful for him. Not a hunger for bread, nor a thirst for water, but for the hearing the words of Jehovah. Let me tell you something. That's going to be bad when we can't gather here anymore. on a Friday, on a Shabbat, on a Wednesday, because they're going to force you. I don't know how, but he said these days are coming. So what if they do come like that? What are we doing in the process? We should be preparing and soaking in as much as we can. Because there's not going to be no hiding. You won't be able to hide. You won't be able to store bread, enough bread and food and whatever in your freezer. Because they know who you are. They know you're a set-apart people. They know you're a holy nation. They know you don't participate in all their functions out there. So basically, they're going to want to cut you off. But when this happens from the word of Yehovah, how terrible that is. You talk about a day of weeping and mourning. If we didn't have the word today, we would be lost. We'd probably all really be camped out by pastor looking for a word. There'd be tents all around his house. This is going to be a fearful time when you can't hear the word. Because why? I'm going to show you what it says. It's not only for you and I, or those that's here tonight. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north to the east and shall diligently search, seeking the word of Yehovah. But they shall not find it. That's critical times. That's worse than not having no food and no water. Not having his word. In that day, beautiful maidens and strong young men shall faint from thirst. These beautiful maidens and these strong men, I had to look into that. These are your generation that's coming up, Casey. And all in that age, that beautiful maiden, talking about virgins there when you dig into it. He talks about the generation behind us. If we don't get it, what are their chances? If we don't stand today, what are their chances? We really have to pay attention to this Amos chapter 8. Because behold, the days are coming. He's warning us as believers. He's warning us. A great famine is coming. And what catastrophic time in Mitzrayim, in the time of Yosef, because it had not been for Yosef right there, Yah's man. The answer correctly is not in me. I thought, look, when I was woken up at 2 in the morning, and I didn't know what to do. First thing, I just went and go pray first. It's quiet, just me and the dog. I bring her out. Then we go sit down. And I don't even want coffee because coffee don't even taste good at 2 in the morning. And then I'm sitting down and I'm just, okay, yeah, where do I go? I can pick up from 38, but where do you want me to go? And he brought me back to that verse, to verse 16. And he said, because it's not in him. And that ought to do something for us. It ought to move it in us because, behold, days are coming. Because look, I think about my children. I have lost children. You have children. You have grandchildren. We have grandchildren. And I think about them. And what are their hope? What are their chances? When there's a famine for the word, when they don't know where to go. Those swearing by the guilt of Shemaron, who say, as your mighty one lives, O Dan, and as the way of Bathsheba lives, they shall fall and never rise again. That's terrible. That is terrible times. Yah, help us. In 1 Kings, now we're going to see a man. Now there's something else, and it's another spot that I was being drawn to. Because this was part of our Haftorah. In 1 Kings, chapter 3. Now this is the life of Shlomo. Now what struck me so much is when last week when we learned about the pot. Now here's a man that I'm going to show you in his prayer and his time with Yehovah. There's never a pot. Never. He's bedecked by Yehovah beautifully. Even so much that even Yeshua mentions his name. In the Brit Hadashah. In chapter 3, look at verse 11. Start at verse 10. And the word was good in the eyes of Yehovah that Shlomo had asked this. What did he ask for? Verse 9. Shall you then give your servant a understanding heart to rule your people, to discern between good and evil? For who is able to rule this great people of yours? Now the word was good to Jehovah that he asked that. Because why? I'm going to read it to you in just a moment. I'm glad you asked. So Elohim said to him, because you have asked this and not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself discernment to understand right ruling. Man, that's beautiful. You didn't understand discernment to use right ruling. Because why? He's about to be set up as king. And it's beautiful. The life of Shalom, it really is. At least the part when he never had a pot. He says, see, I shall do according to your words. See, I shall give you a wise and understanding heart. You think maybe he read about Yosef too? Did he even ask for that? So that there was none like you before you, and none like you shall rise after you. And I shall also give you what you have not asked, both riches and esteem, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the servants all your days. But this is the kicker. And if you walk in my ways to guard my laws and my commands as your father Dawid walked, then I shall prolong your days. What a promise from Jehovah. And Shlomo woke up and it was a dream. Now this is, I got to kind of bounce around because I got to get to the where we're really going to build on. In chapter 6, in verse 12 and 13, he says, now we know that he has wisdom, and as you go through his life and you see he's building the temple, and you see it's just beautiful. He builds his house, he builds his temple, all these things, Shlomo, that Yah is providing for him. But he constantly warns him. I think like he's doing us today. This house which you are building, in verse 12, if you walk in my laws and do my right rulings and shall guard all my commands and walk in them, and I shall confirm my word with you, which I spoke to your father, Dawid. We want this. We want this in our lives for him to confirm his word to us. If we walk in his ways and obey his laws. This don't really seem like really hard stuff for the king. Because he can have anything he wants. But you're going to see, even in his own prayer time, I'm going to get to it, we come into it. He even makes the statement about that. I'm going to get to that. Chapter 8. Also chapter 7, 13 and 14. It talks about the man, the spirit of Elohim, the guy by the name of Hiram in that chapter. He's talking about he's skilled in wisdom and understanding. He's talking about this guy. Also in chapter 4, verses 29 and 30, he talks about Jehovah gave Shlomo wisdom. So you just got to go back and read every chapter because, man, it's a great story. But in chapter 8 and verse 12, I'm in chapter 7, chapter 8, verse 12. Now listen to his words. This is what and this prayer that goes along with it. I think I may have spoken on this before, but I just want to recap it because it's so beautiful. And Shlomo said, Yehovah has said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have indeed built you an exalted house, an established place for you to dwell in forever. And the Solomon turned around and blessed all the assembly of Israel, while all the assembly of Israel was standing. And he said, blessed be Yehovah, Elohim of Israel. He's acknowledging Yehovah, who spoke with his mouth to my father, Dawid, and with his hand he has filled it, saying, since the day I brought my people Israel out of Mizraim, I have chosen no city from any tribe of Israel in which to build a house for my name to be there. And as I was going through this morning, just again, I was thinking about this place. That Elohim gave our pastor the wisdom and now an understanding to not pick up and leave. Because we heard it. Position was everything. And we needed that. We needed this place. And he's going to mention about this house, this heckle that he built so many times. And my mind just can't, I think about this place heavily. And it was in the heart of my father, verse 17, and it was in the heart of my father Dawid to build a house for the name of Jehovah, Elohim of Israel. But Elohim said to my father Dawid, because it has been in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Only you do not build a house, but your son who is coming from your loins, he does build a house for my name. Now Jehovah has established his word, which he spoke. And I have been raised up instead of my father Dawid and sit on the throne of Israel as Jehovah promised, and built a house for the name of Jehovah Elohim of Israel, and have appointed there a place for the ark, wherein is the covenant of Jehovah, which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Mitzrayim. I know we're going to be coming, but that'll be in the next book, what he's talking about here. But this is really beautiful. Let me continue. And Shlomo stood before the slaughter place of Jehovah in front of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward the heavens and said, Jehovah, Elohim of Israel, there is no El in the heavens above or on earth below like you, guarding your covenant and loving commitment with your servants who walk before you with all their heart. I like that, with their servants. We have to walk, like he said, before him with all our heart. That's a qualifier. Who has guarded that which you did promise your servant Dawid, my father. Indeed, you have both spoken with your mouth and have filled it with your hands as it is this day. And now, Jehovah Elohim of Israel, guard what you have promised your servant Dawid, my father, saying, there is not to cease a man of yours before me, sitting on the throne of Israel, only if your sons guard their way to walk before me as you have walked before me. So that's some qualifying, some condition. Even though he's a king, he's recognizing his Elohim, the one that spoke to his father Dawid, and just like he's speaking to him. But if he walk in his way, and boy, we're gonna get to that, because there's some things in there that's, it's just so beautiful. Verse 26. And now, Elohim of Israel, please let your word come to your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant Dawid, my father. For is it true? Elohim dwells on the earth. He can dwell whatever he wants to. He's Elohim. We used to sing the song years ago, he's big enough to rule this mighty universe, yet small enough to live in our heart. And we used to sing that song. Please let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant Dawid, my father. For is it true Elohim dwells on the earth? See the heavens. And the heavens of the heavens are unable to contain you. How much less this house which I have built. When I read that heavens and heavens of heaven, I said, three heavens. I wonder where I heard that before. Huh? So when you go to, let me put it right here. Even though I got it written down. Even when you go to 2 Corinthians, you hit that little on the side. It says, I know a man in Messiah, who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. Elohim knows. Such one was caught up to the third heaven. That was a connection there. It's in your little note. I saw this later on the side. But it came to me, that scripture came to me as I was studying. I said, man, I think they mentioned that. Shaul mentioned that in Corinthians about three heavens as a tie-in. Verse 28, yet shall you turn to the prayer of your servant and his supplication? O Jehovah, my Elohim, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you today? What a question. Will you turn to the prayer of the supplication of your servant? He's asking a question to Jehovah. Does Jehovah answer him? In chapter 9 he does. But we've got to get through chapter 8. For your eyes to be open toward this house night and day. I get to think about this place when we come here. Night and day. Toward the place of which you said, my name is there. I believe his name is here. I was sharing that. I might have been Brother Robert here, because look, I'm always connected to them all the time. And I said, I dare to say that we're the only ones here, down here in little old Boothville, who's teaching what we're teaching tonight. If otherwise, we'd have known about it. We'd have heard that there's some brothers up there who are teaching the words of Jehovah, and who's doing Torah portions, who's on Friday night keeping Shabbat. We don't see this in our parish. But you're a witness. That's why you sent out in the wolves. That's what he said. So you think he's listening to your prayers? We need him. Then shall you hear the supplication of your servant and of your people, Yisrael, when they pray toward this place? When you hear in your dwelling place in the heavens? And shall you hear and forgive? Three questions again. If anyone sins against his neighbor and has lifted up an oath on him to cause him to swear, and comes and swears before your slaughter place in this house, then hear in the heavens and act rightly, rule your servants, declaring the wrongdoer wrong, bringing on his head, it's on you. But he's talking about the wrongdoer here. And declaring the righteous right by giving him according to his righteousness. Everybody has a payday, has an appointment. One of the definitions back when I read it, it means appointment. This is what he's talking about. It's time. This is all has to deal with time. One thing we don't have control of. When your people, Yisrael, are smitten before an enemy, sometimes I feel like that. When I'm out there in the workforce and conversations start up, I hear the laughter. I hear the chatter. You know, you hear the mockery go on. But if I succumb to that, I wouldn't be here tonight. I have to be equipped by him to do what I do. When you are smitten before an enemy because they have sinned against you, and they shall turn back to you and confess your name and pray and make supplication to you in this house. What is this place for? When we come here tomorrow, we should be coming in praying and making supplication to him. What else are we coming here for? Then hear in the heavens and forgive the sin of your people, Yisrael, and bring them back to the land which you gave to their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain, that's bad, because they sin against you. When they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you afflict them. One thing about it, you don't answer to you, either of us in here. We answer to him. He's the one that brings judgment. And he's going to pay every one of us, whether righteous or unrighteous, whatever you do. He says, then hear in the heaven, verse 36, and forgive the sin of your servant, your people, Yisrael, for you teach them the good way. What do we learn here tonight? In which they should walk and shall give rain on their land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. Now we're getting some, as an inheritance? Uh-oh. What do you mean as an inheritance? I'm going to cover that in just a minute. I ain't going to leave y'all hanging. When there is scarcity of food in the land, what are we talking about now? Where there is pestilence, blight, mildew, locusts, grasshoppers, When their enemies distressed them in the land of their cities, any plague, any sickness. Where is Shlomo getting this info? Do you think he turned this way or this way? This is so beautiful. Whenever prayer, whatever supplication made by any one of your people, Yisrael, each knowing the plague of his own heart, and shall spread out his hands toward this place. Maybe there's not enough spreading of hands here. Maybe that's what we need more of that. We're lacking. This is what we're being taught not to lack. We shouldn't be lacking. Why? Because we're adopted sons. And I'm guilty. I had to go through all this before I brought it out to y'all. But we're working on it. We're building on it to get better at it. And we should be getting better. Then hear in the heavens your dwelling place, and forgive and act and render unto everyone according to all his ways, whose heart you know. He sees our hearts. Because you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men. He knows them all. He has many sons. He knows them all. So that they fear you all the days that they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. Verse 41. And concerning the foreigner, you want to take a good guess who we are? Who is not of your people, Yisrael? We're not native born. At least I don't know if anyone else here tonight that is. But has come from a far land for your name's sake. I believe that's you and I. We're coming from far land because of his name. We've come a long ways since Christianity. I know where Christianity to be a Christian came about. We've come a long ways to where we're at today. Like our pastor said, there's nothing that I want to go back to back then. Is it out there? Does the flesh crave it? Right away. But do I want to go back to that within me? Want? No. That spirit wants to be locked with him. When I lock eyes with him, this is what you want. There's nothing to go back to. That's only death. We're going to see that. Also concerning the foreigner, who is not of your people, Yisrael, but has come from a far land for your name's sake. Since they hear of your great name. Well, I'm so glad we heard about his great name. All the years in Christianity, I never knew he even had a name. We just always thought it was God. And your strong hand and your outstretched arm, and he shall come and pray toward this house. Let me just pause there for 1 second, because there's something I want to show you right here. Hold your spot there in 1 Kings. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse, 17. And having come, verse 17, Ephesians 2:17, and having come, he brought as good news peace to you who were far off, and peace to those near. You want to be near to him. Because while we're not far off anymore, because through him we have both access to the Father by one Spirit. Amen. So then, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. That's who we were. We're not that anymore. Well, we are, but fellow citizens. You're adopted. You're adopted tonight. We're adopted by him. We're going to see adoption take place. That's beautiful. We're the two sons of Yosef, but we're not going to get there tonight. But that's coming. But that's what we're talking about, this adoption. But this is who you are. This is adoption papers right here. Because you're no longer a stranger. At one time, we were strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the set-apart ones, a member of the household of Elohim. You're a part of his house now. You're somebody. You're special. And this is what Shlomo is saying. You are far off, but now you're made near. Let's go back to that. Back to 1 Kings. I lost what number I was on.
Verse 42. 42?
Okay, thank you, brother. I was close, right? I was looking for it. Verse 42. Since they hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm, and he shall come and pray toward this house, here in the heavens, your dwelling place. Verse 43. And do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you. Are we calling to him? So that all the peoples of the earth know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and know that this house which I have built is called by your name. This place, you'll never look at this place the same when you come here. Because it was all his. He just gave the design, the wisdom to someone who was listening. Just like Yosef was the man. Yah found him somebody down here. And I'm thankful. And when your people go out to battle against their enemy, when he sent you out against the wolves, this all connects. In the way that you send them, and they shall pray to Jehovah toward the city which you have chosen, and toward the house which I have built for your name, then shall you hear in the heavens their prayer. Then shall you hear in the heavens their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. That word cause is mishpah. It is when they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin. Now I thought about that. Even Yosef. Just because we don't read about it, don't mean it's not in there. But we know that what he learned from his suffering, we knew that was some pride going there. Because we're going to know later on when his brother's going to appear, his heart, he has a totally different change from his heart. I bet at the time when it happened, I bet he was mad. He wanted to get even. But in time that Jehovah taught him, he had to lay it down. He had to learn compassion. And does he have it? He has so much compassion for his brothers. And his brothers were afraid of him. When the day, remember when Yaakov died? I thought about that today. When Yaakov died, they were afraid of Yosef. We're going to get to that. When they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin. Why? For all have sinned and come short of his glory. We need the glory back. And you become enraged. That's a big word. With them. And give them to the enemy. And take them captive. Listen to these words. It takes you right back to Yosef. The enemy. Take them captive to the land of the enemy. Far or near. And they shall turn back to you in their heart. In the land where they have been taken captive. Yosef's heart had to change in a land that was foreign to him. He was a prisoner. His heart had to be changed. He didn't have his family with him. And shall turn and make supplication to you in the land of those who took them captive. Wow. That screamed Yosef at me the whole time when I was reading it. Saying, we have sinned and acted crookedly. We have committed wrong. And they shall turn back to you with all their heart and with all their being. Notice how this theme, we turn back to him. And they shall turn back to you with all their heart and with all their being in the land of their enemies who led them away captive. Yosef had to learn them 13 years. And shall pray to you toward their land which you gave to their fathers, the city which you have chosen, and the house which I have built for your name. Then shall you hear in the heavens your dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. And forgive your people who have sinned against you, and all their transgressions which they have transgressed against you. So it's not against you and I. You sinned against me, I sinned against you. It's against him. That's one thing we have to remember. When we break his laws, when we don't do what's right, when it comes to him, we're breaking his laws. We transgress. And you give them compassion before those who took them captive, and they shall have compassion on him. That's that compassion I was talking about. Go look it up. That he had to have compassion for his brothers. He cried and wept and embraced them. And he said, I'm going to take care of y'all. He said, what you meant for evil, Yehovah turned, he meant it for good. This is, but he had to learn that. For they are your people, your inheritance. We are his people, his inheritance, whom you brought out of the Mitzrayim, out of the iron furnace. Now we know that leads to, but out there is an iron furnace. It's like it's modern day Mitzrayim out there. It literally is. Let your eyes be open to the supplication of your servant and the supplication of your people, Yisrael, to listen to them wherever they call to you. You can call on him wherever you're at. We're not limited just here. You can call him at your house, in your car, on your boat, on the job. You can call on him. That's what's so beautiful. For you have separated them unto yourself as an inheritance. That's who we are. You're separated. He don't have you mixed with all that stuff. What we learned from Yaakov later on before, he took his sheep and he separated them from Laban. That was us. He separated you from that. But now he sends you out against the wolves. That's just like Yehovah. but he's not sending you out alone. He's equipping us. That's why he wants us to learn. That's why we preach it adamantly here, day in, day night, whenever we come here, how we need this. For you have separated them unto yourself for an inheritance out of all the peoples of the earth, as you have spoken by the hand of your servant Moshe, when you brought out our fathers out of Mitzrayim, O Master Yehovah. And when it came to be, when Shlomo had ended praying all this prayer and supplication to Yehovah, that he rose up from before the slaughter place of Yehovah, from kneeling on his knees with his hand spread to the heavens. And he stood and blessed all the assembly of Yisrael with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be Yehovah, who has given rest to all his people, Yisrael, according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of his good word. He's never failed him. We failed him. I did. But he's never failed me. Which he promised through his servant Moshe. Yehovah Elohim is with us. As he was with Yosef. He's with us today. This is what his word says. As he was with our fathers. Because who were they all before? They were our fathers. We got adopted in, they became our fathers. He does not leave us nor forsake us. Oh, how we love that verse of scripture. Incline our hearts to himself. Listen to what he says. To walk in all his ways and to guard his commands and his laws and his right ruling, which he commanded our fathers. Boy. Let's see what I got. A couple more. And let these words of mine, with which I have made supplication before Yehovah, be near Yehovah Elohim day and night to maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Yisrael, the matter of each day in its day. Every day I need him to maintain our cause. I need his mishpat every day. That's what that cause is. Chapter 9. We're going to get it all in tonight. Well, I have time. I told you, this is one of them drop the mic tonight. And it came to be, verse 1, when Shlomo had finished the building of Yehovah and the house of the sovereign and all the desire of Shlomo, which he was pleased to do, all that he bedecked him with, everything that he had was beautiful, that Yehovah appeared to Shlomo the second time as he appeared to him at Gibeon. And Yehovah said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication. Verse 28, when he asked about it back in chapter 8. That you have made before me. I have set this house apart, which you have built, to put my name there forever. How long? I want to come here forever. As long as I can, I want to come here. And my eyes and my heart shall always be there. This is what Yehovah says. And you, if you walk before me, as your father David walked, in the integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, if you guard my laws and my right ruling, don't go buy no pot. I got all the pot you need. You don't need a pot. Then I shall establish the throne of your reign over Israel forever, as I promised David, your father, saying, there is not to cease a man of yours on the throne of Israel. Verse 6. I know this seems like it's plenty tonight, but it's all for our good. Ganzule Tova, I never forget that. It's all for my good. See? If you turn back, you and your sons, that's a shame on you verse right there. To those who have turned their back on Yehovah and not returned to him. That's a shame on you verse right there. From you and your sons, from following me, and do not guard my commands, my laws, which I have set before you, but shall go and serve other mighty ones and bow yourself to them, then I shall cut off Israel. Let me tell you, he says cut off. I don't care what the world says. His word says you're cut off if we don't return back to him. This is why we're here. You might have only one shot for your children, or for your brother, or for your sister. Think about it when you're out there. When you approach, we have to think about our words carefully, because it's going to matter. Life or death situation. Because if not, they're cut off. When the clock goes and the buzzer goes off, time's up. It's checkmate. When you play chess and when you conquer the king, it's checkmate. There's no more plays after that. Then I shall cut off Israel from the face of the soil which I have given them, and send them away from my presence, this house which I have set apart for my name. And Israel shall be a proverb and a mockery amongst all the peoples. Hear this word tonight. And this house which has been exalted, everyone who passes by it shall be astonished and hiss and say, why has Yehovah done this to this land and to this house? Yehovah did it? Really? Let's see what verse 9 says. And they shall say, because they have forsaken Yehovah their Elohim, who brought their fathers out of the land of Mizraim. And they took hold of other mighty ones and bowed themselves to them and served them. That is why Yehovah has brought all this evil on them. It's what we do after we're the outside man. Not when we're here tonight, it's when we're outside. How do we act? How do we conduct? What is our speech? Because we are, after all, we are the light of the world. We're the salt. If not, we're here for nothing. What we look like, brother? Oh. Let's make good use of it. Chapter 11. One of the saddest chapters that we're going to see tonight. After all the bedecking that Yehovah, go back and read the story up to chapter 11. Go read all what was done for Shlomo. All his wisdom, his wise, and his smarts. Everything that he represented, that he stood for. And we've seen fallen ones today. This was so sad about this chapter. How? I know because I've been there. But now that you know, and that you're there, and that's why we have to be planted. We have to be rooted in him. This has to take root down in us. And Solomon Shlomo loved many foreign women in addition to the daughter of Pharaoh. He was told not to do that. Go back and read the story where he took Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Zidonian, and Hittite women. All of a sudden, I'm buying a pot. Really? Time. This happened over time. This isn't just not all of a sudden. This is time. That's why our master said we have to endure until the end. That's going to be the saved one. This is what he said, but this is time. This is late in Shlomo's life. How do I know? Because it's not long he dies. But this is what I was going through in my study time for the past couple of weeks, going through the life of Shlomo. There's so much we can learn from that to do and what not to do. We have to, one thing we have to guard. He told us all these 429, 713, 311, 612, to guard his word, his command. And what are we saying here today? We ain't doing nothing but repeating what he says. God, we say it day in and day out. From the nations of whom Yehovah said to the children of Israel, you do not go into them, and they do not go into you. For they shall certainly turn away your hearts after their mighty ones. Shlomo clung to these in love. He bought a pot. When we just learned last week, you don't need to be doing this. We don't need to be catching drips. This is when I read this, and when the message came, this was it my understanding was like, wow. It's like it was just, and like I said, for 2 weeks I've been holding this in, waiting for the night for my one shot. Ooh, to get it out. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. And it came to be when Shlomo was old and time. You didn't need all this. You had it all. The first thing you had was Jehovah. That was all you needed. There was a post on Facebook today, a young girl that I know. She said, what is a good book to read going into 2025? I said, the Bible. It's all you need. But you need to read it from a Hebraic mindset, from a Jewish mindset, because our master, our salvation was a Jew. This is our answer. I think it's Big Mike, either his daughter or his cousin. I said, but we have to follow him. She said, well, I do that on a daily basis. I said, well, you're not far from the kingdom. So what my answer was. I said, we just got to obey and keep his laws. She said, thank you. There was nothing else for me to say. But you asked a question, so here it is. His word is all you need when you got him. And it came to be when Shlomo was old, his wives turned away his heart after other mighty ones, and his heart was not perfect with Jehovah his Elohim. Sad as was the heart of his father David. And Shlomo went after Ashtaroth, the mighty one of the Sidonians, and after Maacon, the abomination of the Amorite. And thus Shlomo did evil. After all this, after being bedecked, he turned around, he takes it off and decks self. This is what happened here. He did evil in the eyes of Yehovah, did not follow Yehovah completely like his father David. And Shlomo built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And so he did for all his foreign wives who burned incense and slaughtered to their mighty ones. Thus, therefore, verse 9, Yehovah was enraged. That's one thing we do not want to do, is get him enraged with you and I. The scripture says the fearful things that fall into the hands of a living hell. Enraged with Shlomo, because his heart had turned away from Yehovah, Elohim of Israel, who appeared to him twice, and commanded him concerning this word, not to go after the other mighty one, but he did not guard what Yehovah had commanded. And y'all can go back and read the rest, because it's not, he dies just terribly, after being bedecked by Yehovah. Now in the life of Yosef, when Yosef gets bedecked, it's beautiful. But we can learn from these players and our forefathers here in the scripture. Man, I'm telling you, it's just, I know it's a mouthful, but go look at the life of Shlomo. He had everything going for him. Yah had him because of his servant David. But there was a condition. Keep my laws. And what are we saying here today? Keep his laws. Obey his command. Walk here after him. And that's, I'm sure we'll hear more about that tomorrow. But that was my one shot tonight. Just like the one shot for when he said, it's not in me. I got that from, he said, it's not in me. Let Elohim answer Pharaoh with Shalom. Amen? Well, I thank y'all for coming tonight.